Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Happy holidays, you XC beasts. Still sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? But that's what we're going with. That's what we're calling our listeners. If you've just turned on to a Press X to Continue podcast for the first time, that's how we've introduced you. It'll all make sense if you go back and listen to some of our regular episodes on a Tuesday. Anyway, whatever you're doing, whether you're having some peace and quiet by yourself or hanging out with friends and family, I hope you're having a cracking Christmas, wherever you are in the world. Now, thank you for choosing this retro episode of Press X to listen to. We are reflecting on one of the big things to happen in the UK this Christmas on this retro episode, because the final ever episode of TV comedy phenomenon Gavin and Stacey was on yesterday on Christmas Day here in the UK. And so what we're going to do is we're going to bring you the episode of Press X to Continue where the actor Matthew Horne, who plays Gavin, was with us chatting about his love of games, and we recorded this one back in March 2021. So go and enjoy this episode of Retro Press X. Remember to tell all your mates about us, Press X Pod or Press X Podcast on Insta, Blue Sky and TikTok, and of course we've got a Discord server, so get involved in that as well. But enjoy this one first. Player two in our party this week, since we're talking movies and games, that's the theme for this week's episode. There was only one person we had to have on the podcast, Radio 1 and One Extra's movie expert, Ali Plum. Welcome to Press X to Continue, Ali.
Lovely to be here. Thanks so much for letting me be in the presence of Einel's laugh. That's all I'm here for. Yes, movies, games, whatever. I just want to hear that laugh, man.
There we go. Anytime, Ali.
It's nice. You know, Ali, I've been on your podcast, so it's lovely to have you on this one. Rounding off our party, a man with a lot of pressure on his shoulders today, and I can see the nerves in his face already. Mm. Gav Murphy from RKG Video is here. How are you feeling, Gav?
I'm good. I mean, the words that have been thrown on Twitter is the pancake people's champ. So, yeah, I do have some big shoes to fill. And, you know, whether or not I'll be able to perform under these Friday night lights, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
If you're listening for the first time, we play a silly little mobile game to decide who from the Press X to Continue family is the best at games. It's all about flipping pancakes. Gav's been giving it the big gun on the WhatsApp group, and we're going to find out today if he's going to top the leaderboard. Some of the scores coming in from the listeners, by the way, are crazy.
Oh my God. I don't want to hear them.
We're going to find out later on if Gav's got the minerals or not. And if you haven't shared your score with us yet, if you've been flipping pancakes and you haven't shared your score with it, make sure you do it. Use the hashtag PressXToContinue. But we're going to start with some news kicking around. There's been quite a lot going on. Firstly, in our preview of 2021, Einel, you said Gran Turismo. They said delayed till 2022.
That doesn't surprise me. I said they needed a Gran Turismo this year, but I think every single Gran Turismo after the first one has been delayed after the first announcement of the release date. So it's, in terms of peripherally, in terms of how they run things, it's normal. It's everyday business. They always delay their games. Every time.
Everyday business.
It does strike me as now, though, when we've talked about this before, like we're not going to see any of the... I almost feel bad about that episode we did. I mean, the only game that is definitely coming out that we talked about is the one you said, Gav, which was Hitman, and that's because it's already out.
It was out on the day that we put the podcast out, yeah. So played it safe. Played it safe.
Played it safe. So Gran Turismo, that's delayed till 2022. Now, I had this message from Alex Davis, who listens. She got in touch on social media. She wanted us to talk about VR and PlayStation VR in particular, because she just bought her partner one. Now, we know that there's a PlayStation 5 VR set coming as well. Is that getting your juices going?
In terms of VR, PlayStation is probably the best place to start off with if you're curious about the VR realm. All the other ones, on the PC, like the HTC Vive, they're quite expensive. Some of them can go for like over like £500, and some of them like big room scale ones can cost like big bucks. So like for the PlayStation, it's a decent price, and it's comparable to the newer kind of Oculus ones that are coming out at a more kind of reasonable price point. But the PlayStation also has the ability, when you're using VR, for friends to watch the TV and see what you're doing at the same time, which is really nice.
Yeah, obviously not coming out till 2022.
Yeah.
Because nothing's coming out in 2021. What did you make of VR, Ali? And have you ever given it a go and liked it? Because for me, it's never floated my boat, I'll be honest with you.
I'm still in the, we're not there yet. As in, and it has to be a level of unbelievably user-friendly, totally intuitive, all the tech works, makes sense, is a reasonable price point. Until we get to that, I am still so, so happy with my magical wire-free controllers. Like, I'm still amazed by microwaves, let alone the fact that we have a controller that doesn't need a cable. VR needs to get really, really easy before I'm getting on board with it.
Alex has just bought her partner the current PSVR, Gav, so she's a couple hundred quid in. What could they be playing that's, you know, that is exciting, that is worth it?
Oh my God, straight away, Astrobot. There's an Astrobot game for it that I think rivals pretty much any 3D Mario game. It is so good. Ooh. It's so, so good. And also, just for wild experience, Tetris Effect.
Yeah.
Like, I know, okay, you've shelled out 350 quid and then someone tells you to play Tetris. Honestly, it is an experience. Yeah. Like, it is absolutely bonkers. You've got, like, pure Tetris mad gameplay, but then you have dolphins flying at your face and stuff as well. And the soundtrack is incredible. It's an experience rather than a game. It's so good.
After we've recorded this, there's going to be some big PlayStation announcements.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get into that next week. Just ahead of that, we know it's coming. We're doing this before the announcements come, so we will be doing that next week. And then we've got to touch on this as well. We talked about it in our first podcast. Anthem, was it going to get cancelled? Was it not? Now it has officially gone. You quite sad about that? I know we were sort of hoping that they might be able to turn it around.
I think the story's quite sad. I think it was the right call to kind of knock it on the head and start again fresh. I think with fresh eyes...
Yeah, because no one's playing it. There's only one way to go with it. Like, no one is playing it.
It was the impossible task, isn't it?
Like, you're hosting a party that no one wants to come to, man. Like, you got to shut it down. You got to shut it down.
The pressure for them to make for the other games, too, because BioWare have got such a history of making good games. You know, they're just going to be sort of, have we still got to have the Anthem poster up in the office? Can we get rid of it? Can we just imagine that it never happened?
Oh, I'll take them down straight away.
Yeah.
But I think lots of games like this come out where they have like a strong idea and for some reason just doesn't land. Like Evolve. What a game. Like, that's an amazing idea. Like a Hunt Showdown. That's another one that I think, what an incredible concept. Just doesn't have a lot of people playing it for some reason. It's really weird.
Well, get involved with the conversation. What do you think about the PlayStation 5 VR? Are you sad about Anthem being cancelled and Gran Turismo being delayed till 2022? Let us know what you think of what's going on in the world of gaming. Use the hashtag PressX to continue. Now, a game that's actually quite similar to Anthem in the sort of the mechanics and I guess the way it plays was Avengers, the game version.
Never meet your heroes. Well, I did. And it was awesome. The Avengers were everything I imagined.
Now, Ali, you've been playing a bit of that, and obviously you've reviewed all of the major Marvel movies. What was that experience like for you playing the Avengers game?
It was frustrating. I think that's my best word for it. And it's not just that I've reviewed the games, like I am obsessed with the whole MCU, everything from Iron Man to Far From Home and beyond, WandaVision currently on Disney Plus, so much amazing stuff. And it's just not there, is it? Like, who else has played it? It felt repetitive, clunky. Like, I talked about user interface with, you know, VR. This just felt like I was playing a game from maybe 2003 in terms of its title screen and the loading times. I'm not saying it was, look, I'm in a lift. Might be a loading time. But it was levels of that. Like, there are moments of extreme, oh, is this really happening? But when you're on the way to those moments, it's just clunky.
I think any time you describe a game as felt like it came out in 2003, it's never a good sell, is
the
it?
The title screen. Yeah, but no, I take your point.
Yeah, yeah.
It has its moments, but it is repetitive.
I know a bunch of people who are really into it. I know a bunch of people who played loads of it on multiplayer, and I think the fact that it came out during lockdown kind of helped a little bit mm-hmm. because people were looking for something to, you know, connect them to some people. And there is like a level of polish there that is obviously some, you know, money behind the game and that. Mm-hmm. But I just feel it probably would do better as like a 6-hour single player game rather than this big multiplayer game, you know?
Yeah.
I think it just ends up feeling a bit flabby. But I think, as you say, like there are flashes of awesomeness in there. It's just, it takes a while to get to them.
That's got to be frustrating, hasn't it? You know, if you're an Avengers, you know, super fan, you want to get into this and you just see those little, the nuggets of what could have been.
Yeah, the opening salvo is pretty good. There's an element of you've got to like collect different comics and all the usual stuff that just like learn the controls. And then you get a big Avengers battle like straight away. And you're like, oh yeah, this is the game for me. And then it goes to, what was it, the beginning of Final Fantasy 13 or something, where it's just, oh, I'm on a line. I'm on that track. I'm on the railway track. Oh, look, a bump in the road. You know, my metaphors are going awful here, but I was just frustrated with it because it wasn't quite the game I dreamt it should be. And I think we need to defend it on that front, which is I come at it with so many expectations, with all these dreams, like a childhood's worth of, oh, what if they could do this?
Yeah. It's really hard though as well, because I think lots of people are comparing it to Infinity War and Endgame. Like arguably two of the best Marvel films. What people forget when you think about those, there's a lot of duff Marvel films as well. Like they're not all
right.
Amazing.
Separate podcast.
Like,
let's take this outside. Incredible Hulk. I'll give you Thor: The Dark World. Fine.
As soon as I saw that representation, and as soon as I got a sense that this is a game we've got to grind for stuff and constantly grind, and I don't know if I'm getting anywhere. I never bother. There's so much competition out there that if you don't grab people immediately, you know, isn't it? It's curtains. Yeah.
I was the same way. As soon as I saw the reveal, I was like, is that the Avengers?
Well, they don't have the visual likenesses. It reminds me, do you remember the Jason Bourne game? This is like 10 years ago. And they obviously didn't get Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
The game can be as good as the game can be. But if in your mind's eye, Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow, it's like Uncanny Valley.
That's the issue. They have, like, when you look at all the MCU marketing, it's all their faces everywhere.
Lunchbox, posters, toys, side of the bus. Bonks,
everything, exactly. And then when you get a video game and then it's not there, it's like, it's the second-hand version then, I guess. It's like everything else has got the official. Like, even if I go down the market and I go try and find a cheap knockoff Black Widow, it's still going to be Scarlett Johansson's face on it. But the video game can't have it?
Nah. It's like when you turned up at school and you had the the fake Premier League shirt from the market that your gran bought you, rather than the official.
It's got the wrong sponsors on it.
Yeah, the wrong sponsor. You know, it had that feel about it, and it's because the performers who play.
Oh yeah,
the characters are fantastic. They're amazing. They're brilliant.
Let's go through them: Troy Baker, Travis Willingham, Nolan North, Laura Bailey.
The PS5 and Xbox Series X versions are coming out soon. The critics weren't very kind either. I think that the Metacritic score and the average is 63. So it's quite harshly reviewed. I think you think it's better than that, Ali, judging by...
I think I may be around about that number, maybe late 60s. It had eyes that were too big for its stomach. It wanted to be all things for all people. And it wanted to be a story-led thing. It wanted to be very multiplayer. It wanted to have this good combat situation. It wanted to have all of the characters. I would have loved this game to have been, like we've seen before, knockoff-ish Deadpool games. But then we've had the success of the Spider-Man recently with Miles Morales on board. Why not just make this the Iron Man game, the Miss Marvel game, rather than trying to be everything to everyone? It just couldn't quite deliver on all fronts.
Well, look, let us know what you think of the Avengers game. If you've been playing it, use the hashtag PressX to continue and share your thoughts with us. Right, we have had probably more messages on social media this week ahead of this record than any other record we've ever done, because we were talking about games on screen. It's something that lots of you have been messaging us about before, wanting to talk about. So we're getting into it this week. And we put this out on social media, and I feel sorry for your Instagram, Gav, because you sent a video to the WhatsApp group of you scrolling through all the messages you were getting, people shouting out suggestions for this week.
Yeah, it's hit like 1,000 responses I've had for it. That's a lot.
You need
of people,
a PA, man, just to go through them.
I sat down this morning. I thought, oh, well, I have my breakfast. I'll have a cup of tea and I'll go through some of the best ones. And just in case there's anything I hadn't think. But it's like when you're scrolling and you literally see the word Max Payne 200 times. Like, it's hard, man. But yeah, fair play. People get involved.
You've just triggered me. Yeah. That
I saw Mark Wahlberg. I couldn't.
This could turn into sort of 4-hour pub craziness quick, yeah. Right? So let me try and put some sort of focus. What we're going to do is we're going to try and pick our three best, our three worst, and then one that we're really looking forward to in the future. That's what we're going to try and do. Okay.
Can I speak the devil's name?
Yes.
I just want to say the two words out loud that we're all dancing around before we even begin. Is Uwe Boll. All right. We need to say it, because if we can just deal with the bad ones first, we just need to mention his name, and that's the bottom 10.
Yeah, I think almost like
done.
And whatever you think about him, like that is a smart man, right? Because he went around and bought up the licenses to a load of video games before they were even successful. Mm-hmm. And he was like, right, now I own all these video games and now I'm the only one that can turn this into a film. So when, you know, Far Cry comes out or House of the Dead or something, he's like, here we go.
Here's what he's done. House of the Dead, Far Cry for sure. Postal, In the Name of the King, 1, 2, and 3. Blood Rain, 1, 2, and 3. I forgot
about Blood Rain.
Yep, there we go. Alone in the Dark is the infamous one. Alone in the Dark is the... Who was in it? Not always a good sign, but Tara Reid and Christian Slater. I think that's currently...
What a cast list.
The casting director was like, yeah, we got it.
Nailed it. That's Lock currently it sitting pretty at Rotten Tomatoes at 1%.
I think that we should almost put Mr. Boll in his own little category.
I agree.
If you want really bad game film, bad stroke, funny because they're so, you know, they are what they are, let's have him in his own little space that he can sort of, you know, he resides in, and let's talk about everything that isn't him. In case you don't know who he is, he's a director who's famous for making, well...
appalling.
Bad films, I guess is...
He would
his money in there.
He'd be in the worst films of all time, let alone worst video game adaptations.
Yeah. Well, look, he's the king of the bad game films. Fine. Okay. So, other than that, let's start off with bad ones. Then these are some that we've had. Like I said, we've been flooded with messages. It's brilliant to see you guys getting involved and sending us messages and sending each other messages, disagreeing and stuff. I love that. I think it's wicked. So, Fender on Twitter got in touch. He wants to put Doom with The Rock in the worst section. He thinks it should be one of our top three worst because of the first person section in it, which I didn't think was that bad, to be honest.
It's probably the best bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I quite liked it. I liked The Rock in it as well. I thought he was great.
Yeah. I feel like this about like Doom and definitely the Tomb Raiders as well. Like the new Tomb Raider games, amazing games. Terrible dialogue, terrible script, awful story, but the game in it is actually really, really good. So, you know, you kind of go, forgive it a little bit for being a little bit crap. But when you take out the awesome bow and arrow and the climbing bits and you're not in control, and then you go, all right, now it's just the Lara Croft bit and now she's talking for 2 hours. You're like, no, I can't be getting on with that.
Yeah, the unfortunate feeling when... it's not a game that you'd watch the cutscenes of. Oh, look.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly it, Ali.
I'm now watching 90 minutes of cutscenes.
Would I skip these cutscenes?
Cutscene happens and you just reach for your phone, just like, I'll just take this 2 minutes to have a look on Twitter.
So Doom, do we agree with Fender that it's one of the bad ones?
It's pretty bad.
Definitely one of the bad ones, but it's not one of the worst.
No, I wouldn't put it in the worst category.
Okay, so it's not going to be in our three. Any thoughts on the
dead
people?
Or alive?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yes. Are you trying to tell me Doom is worse than dead or alive?
Yes. Come on.
It's different categories. Different category. Holly Valance, when she did the one tune, right?
Holly Valance.
What was the tune that she did?
What?
It was Holly Valance, yeah.
Of the past.
Yeah. She did
was
the one
neighbor,
tune, but big off the tune.
Or Home and Away.
It was Neighbours. Neighbours, yeah. Yeah. She was like, yo, I'm going solo. And then she did the song. And then I think it was her first movie, Dead or Alive. It's, I will say, it's very fan servicey. So if there's people that really love the Dead or Alive kind of games, like the stuff that you get in the games, you're getting in the movie. You're getting ladies jiggling about, fighting each other, weird, like physics, like gravity physics in terms of like being able to kind of jump around and fly about. You're getting all of that, but it's just very, very poorly made.
It's kind of weird that people, out of all the video games you can choose to adapt, and there's so many adaptations of fighting games.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
And that is like, for me, that like, I know there's a lot of fighting game fans out there. It's like, I don't think any of them would say that they play Street Fighter and Tekken for the story.
Well, I don't know. You know? I always played Mortal Kombat to see how they're going to have another... Barney. Like I need to find out.
Technically, Mortal Kombat, they should all be dead apart from the winner.
Since we're talking Mortal Kombat, we've got to talk about the Mortal Kombat trailer, the new one that's coming out in a couple of weeks. Dropped it. I thought that looked pretty decent.
I think it looks good.
I think it looks good.
I mean, it's probably quite easy to make a decent looking 2-minute video of 2 hours of that stuff, isn't it? But
don't dampen my parade, here, Gav. Come on, I'm hopeful.
I will definitely watch it.
Another problem a lot of these films, for example, Mortal Kombat Annihilation had, is that when you make a Mortal Kombat movie right now, the cost of VFX is a lot less, and the simplicity of making good-ish or good enough special effects is there. In 1997, it was not. So it cost a ton and took ages. So I think right now is the time for a Mortal Kombat film because it can keep up with what it needs to do.
That's on that true. Note, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Sam Golding got in touch with us. He said it should be, well, he was one of those ones that was like, Mortal Kombat Annihilation is probably the best and the worst at the same time. Yeah.
I had a few, like Power Metal Matt got like said to me, Street Fighter is literally the best and worst film made from a game.
Yeah.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme one. What a film.
Yeah,
what
Gary film. Said the same to me. Gary Newton said the same to me. Like all these fighting games, I mean, Dead or Alive is...
That's an illegal.
It's in a league of its own, isn't it? But like, Mortal Kombat, you know, the first Mortal Kombat, 95, I enjoyed that. That was a good film.
Yeah.
With Raul Julia. Oh, man, I miss him.
Do you know what? Like when it comes to these kind of fighting game films, like particularly Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, I enjoy them for how bad they are because they're fun to kind of watch in a strange way. Yeah. Like they're not offensive to you where it's not, oh, I'm going to have to turn this off. It's like, oh, you just laugh at how bad it is.
They're drinking game films.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Kylie Minogue's Cammy. Look at the casting.
So we got two fighting games as our worst so far, as what we're saying. Mortal Kombat Annihilation in their worst top three. Dead or Alive is in there. Let's try and pick a non-fighting game then for the third. I mean, Glyn messaged me on Twitter a picture of Angelina Jolie punching a shark in the face.
So that's in the good section, right?
Yeah, that's up there, man.
Where's the bad?
That's how you fight sharks.
Well, I mean, is it?
Come on. Yeah, I put the Angelina Jolie ones as fun frolics. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say frolics. I punched a shark. I punched a shark for a second. That's me, where you were going with that.
I'd honestly put in the third worst. I don't want to bring up Super Mario Bros. Because I think that is within the Terra Brilliant factor, and it has become
absolutely.
It's a meme upon a meme upon a meme now, and I think to actually put it in the bin is not right. And also it was the first out of the gate, and as much as it is horribly misshapen and utterly
Bob
bananas.
Hoskins is
yeah, exactly. Mario. And John Leguizamo.
The stories I heard on from set are mad.
There is so much to enjoy in it. I think that Assassin's Creed, looking back on it, there is nothing to enjoy in it. And it, as you say, it had all the talent. So it's like that horrible waste factor. Yes, you know, Mortal Kombat 2 isn't very good. But to have producer, writer-ish, and star Michael Fassbender wet the bed that badly...
Yeah,
I would argue we put it in the bin because it let the side down. All the ingredients were great, but they still made a terrible meal.
It was so disappointing, Assassin's Creed. I can remember interviewing Fassbender at the time and thinking, oh, I tell you what, he seems like he's up for this. He's not just, you know, taking the cash.
I think he was, yeah.
He's always up for it. He always looks serious.
Yeah.
But mucking around.
That's actually a good point, Ali, isn't it? That this should be bad. Not because it's, there are worse films on this list.
For sure.
I mean, I think I actually disagree with you on Super Mario, by the way. I mean, I know producer Mike, he's messaging me now being like, no, Mario was awful, even disappointing back in 93.
I think there's something to be said for watching that Super Mario Brothers and just going like, and remembering, adults made this. Like grown people with children who can drive, like, made this. And it's just, at no point did anyone just go, what are we doing, lads? Like, this is mad.
I tell you what.
I think they did. I think that's half of the issue with the film.
Bob Hoskins.
Drinking on set. That's what I heard. I heard he was getting drunk on set. Like,
of course they were.
Bob Hoskins.
I still love the idea of a devolution gun, though, all right? As much as you hate the film, the idea of shooting somebody back into prehistory...
Great idea.
There's something there. I'm not saying it's up there with a portal gun, but I like the devolution gun.
It's always a special moment in any child's life where they realise that they know when something is bad.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know that this is bad. And it's like, oh, God.
I don't mind Mario being called first name Mario, second name Mario, because you go, okay, well, that's kind of funny. What's twisted is realizing that his brother is called Luigi Mario.
Isn't like Phil and Gary Neville's dad is called Neville. It happens, man.
So, but wait, right. Are we now talked Mario back into the bad conversation?
No. I think it's Assassin's Creed.
It's not going in good. But I have to fight for it in a, it's so awful, I can't stop watching. Look, I've had a great time watching that film with friends. I would never, ever press play on Assassin's Creed and expect anyone in the room to have anything other than
joyless.
It was joyless. It had such promise, though, didn't it? You're right. Indeed. That's why
it's top of,
So not only is it in there, but it's top of the bad. That's what we're saying.
Absolutely, oof. Yeah.
Youch.
Okay, so we've got Assassin's Creed, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and Dead or Alive. I mean, if you haven't seen Dead or Alive, don't watch it. Just Google it, and you know, after Googling it, you'll realise why.
Yeah, don't let anybody see Dead or Alive.
Not safe for work, right? So, okay, so those are our bad. Let's get into, I mean, trying to pick three goods, actually going to be quite tricky, I think. So let's, three good ones. We had this one, Alan, who got in touch. He said his five-year-old loves the Sonic movie, despite, you know, he had the troubles when it first launched and people saw Sonic and was like, that's not how he looks like. But they rectified that, didn't they? Jim Carrey, always brilliant on screen, always lights up the screen when he's on. Sonic the movie, what are we thinking?
I'll jump on this grenade. It's a good little film. It's not perfect, but I think it's a surprisingly large amount of fun. And I agree, Jim Carrey just does it, nails it. He chews up everything on the screen. He's dancing, his hips are everywhere. He's just old school Carrey throwing his personality right at your face. And you can't not enjoy him when he's on screen. Does it really have a plot? Not so much. Does it make any sense? Yeah. Nah. But I can totally see my godkid loving this movie. And maybe when he's 20, he'll rewatch it and go, it's not that great, but actually, I think it'll do the job.
Yeah. No, I agree with Ali. Like, the Sonic movie is the movie I wished I had when I went to go see the Mario Brothers movie when I was a kid.
It's cut deep, I know that. It's cut deep.
To this day. I've not seen it since that day.
You don't know how difficult it is to fix the Mario tattoo into another thing. You just don't know how hard that is, particularly when you're that young.
Exactly.
Okay, so Sonic the Movie stands a good chance of being in our top three. And dig through your DMs because you had so many of them. What are people saying?
Silent Hill.
Lots of people, the 2006 one.
Good old Sean Bean.
With Sean Bean. And I do kind of don't mind that because I think it tried to do basically what Silent Hill does, which is an imposing sense of dread. And I think you do get that. And you do get, you know, it hits the sort of fan things of having the characters that you want in it and things like that. I didn't think it was amazing, but Silent Hill as the good one came up a lot in
Silent Hill is
in
a good
the
one.
Messages I was getting,
Detective Pikachu?
Yes.
This one came, David and James got in touch with Detective Pikachu. That's pretty good, isn't it?
They know. Detective Pikachu is way better than it should be. It's way... Justice Smith is good. Ryan Reynolds is amazing as Pikachu. Like, I know when it was first announced, people wanted Danny DeVito to be the voice of Pikachu. Someone did, like, a mock-up trailer of Danny DeVito, old Danny DeVito lines put on top of the trailer, and they were like, yeah, Danny DeVito should be doing it. But, like, I laughed out loud many, many times when watching Detective Pikachu.
I've not watched it because as much as I do, like, I'm sure Justice Smith is really nice, but every time I look at one of his films, I'm just like, Detective Pikachu, to me, screams plane film. And I can't be having someone shouting at me on a plane.
I think you've got to lower your expectations. If you're thinking it's a plane film and we're talking about video game adaptations, we're aiming for a good plane film. Like, something that, you know, three beers in and eight packets of nuts is like, I had a good time.
Yeah, drink four tiny wines. You will love this.
You know what it is? I think the reason why I enjoyed it is because obviously it's Pokemon and it's there to appeal to families and mainly kids. But Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, all his jokes are aimed at adults. Everything that comes out of his mouth is an adult joke. Right. But like, because it's framed as Pikachu saying it, they get away with it. And that's the beauty of the film. As you go through it, there's constant sidelines and one-liners and asides and things like that that he's saying that are all adult jokes that are up here. Most of the kids aren't going to get what he's saying. Mm. But because they're up here, but you're laughing along with it. Yeah, you're there with it.
Is it good enough? Because what I like about it is that it's not, if people say, oh, there's going to be a Pokemon movie coming, you're not expecting Detective Pikachu. That's what I like about it, the fact that it's sort of...
I'm going to go see Detective Pikachu 2 at the cinema.
I'm with you,
That's man. How good
I think it's a good little film as well. I think there's a decent amount of fan service in there. Some of it works, some of it doesn't.
I don't like the fact that we've at the moment, so the ones we're talking about, Sonic, Detective Pikachu, they're all right.
That's the paddling pool we're playing in.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Because, like, for me, the biggest disappointment for me was Warcraft. I thought that I was expecting Lord of the Rings, and I got... I didn't get
Poundland Lord of the Rings.
I didn't even get Poundland Lord of the Rings. I don't know what I got. But
a few people got in touch with me. Holly mainly said, Need for Speed, very much like Fast and the Furious. Mm. And if you see it in that kind of same vein, it's all right.
It's not Fast and the Furious.
It's not. Holly, come on. Holly, what film... did you actually watch Fast and the Furious, Holly, and just mistook it for Need for Speed?
There's skids in it, that's it.
Skids.
I felt so bad for Aaron Paul. Yeah? You walk out of Breaking Bad and you go, I've got a new movie, it's produced by Spielberg. My career is... It's stalling, it's crashed. I'm in the side of the tree, right.
And then he went into Final Fantasy after that, didn't he?
Strange days.
And we haven't really got a top three.
I've got a third.
Okay.
And I can suggest it because I'm pretty sure you haven't seen it. But the highest rated computer game, video game to movie adaptation ever, sitting pretty at 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, is the sequel to the Angry Birds original. So Angry Birds Movie 2 made a casual $150 million worldwide and is 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's actually a good time. It's a family film. It's totally bonkers. But I think we should put it in the top three because there is an element of zaniness that lets it just work. You almost forget that a computer game has anything to do with it. It's just, what on earth am I watching? Green pigs, lots of actors shouting a lot into microphones.
You guys saying Angry Birds over Detective Pikachu?
No, Ryan not Reynolds. Over.
No, definitely
not over. Okay. Not just over, checking, as well as, we've got to choose three. So so at the moment, we've got Sonic, Detective Pikachu, the sequel to Angry Birds. Is there anything that's getting into that top three? Any of the Resident Evils?
Listen, Ali's our guest. I feel like, let's let him have it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So
and the rest of the film critic community, 73% on a game movie. That's...
Yeah, but everybody can be a film creator these days. It's not that special anymore.
All right, I'm leaving.
Anybody with Twitter.
I'm gonna press, so it's this leave button I press, right? Yeah? And what leave meeting. There it is.
Yeah, you got to click on it twice. Yeah.
So we've got, in our best games, we've got Sonic the Movie, Detective Pikachu, Angry Birds 2. In our worst, we've gone with Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Dead or Alive, and... the worst, the Assassin's Creed movie. I think that's a pretty good list. And we've had so many messages in. And like, we haven't even talked about Prince of Persia, which was mentioned. Let's finish this bit by talking about the one that we're excited about that's coming. So for me, this comes down to one of three. And one of them technically isn't a movie. For me, the things to get excited about, it's got to be either the Uncharted film, either the Metal Gear Solid film, or the Last of Us Netflix series, which I'm going to allow, even though it's strictly not a movie.
I think Last of Us has got to have a big shout forward. Like, Mandalorian is essentially a video game anyway.
It is basically
Pedro Pascal doing a load of fetch quests and escort missions. There's even like an armor upgrade sequence in it. Like, Mandalorian is a video game, and it's incredible.
Plastics on the shoulder,
Gav,
please.
What do you reckon about them casting Pedro Pascal as the guy that needs to look after a young child on a journey? I'm not sure he's got the chops for that, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm banging into that. I think he'd be really good. I think, I thought when they first announced Last of Us, what they were going to do was maybe fill in some gaps in the Last of Us storyline, but it looks like they're going pretty much for an adaptation of the first game, which I think adaptations are
dangerous, though, especially with avid fan communities, especially the Last of Us fan communities.
You're going to get in trouble.
And to do an adaptation of their favorite game, I don't know. You should side stories. Yes, there's so many great side characters you bump into, including like Sam and some of the other. I don't want to spoil it too much, but like some of those characters to get fleshed out and then maybe cross meet in the thing would be great to see. I would have thought so. I'm not too hyped on it to see another adaptation because I like the game, but I'm not going back. Last of Us is good, but I'm not going back to those games. I played them once.
Games are films, right? And so it's interesting to see something that's so cinematic being made into a TV series. But this is a TV show, okay? So I think we need to be talking about this bonkers Borderlands film that they're putting together with Cate Blanchett and Kevin Hart is involved, and I can't get my head around that. There's a...
Jack Black playing Claptrap.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great gig for him. Could you be sarcastic, sardonic, and shout a lot? Yes, I can. I'm Jack Black. Also, there's the Uncharted movie starring Tom Holland, Spider-Man himself, obviously based on the more recent Uncharted games where you see a younger, about to say Nolan North, but a younger lead character kind of evolve. Yeah. So I'm cautiously interested in that. Cautiously.
I mean...
We might be at a turning point.
For me, that one for me, Uncharted, feels like it could go Assassin's Creed, though.
Yeah.
Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg, Ruben Fleischer directing. It's got all the ingredients there to be brilliant. Please don't let us down. Please don't do an Assassin's Creed on us.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to call it. Don't do an Assassin's Creed. Yeah. Well, look, let us know what games you're excited about. It's been brilliant to see so many of you getting involved in this conversation. Did we mention the movies that you're angry about or love? Let us know. Hashtag PressX to continue. And let us know what you're excited about in the future. For me, Oscar Isaac as Solid Snake. Yes, thank you very much. Get in my veins. Looking forward to that one. Right, Gavin Ali, take 5 minutes. Me and Ian are going to get Matt Horn on. Because we're doing a gaming and silver screen and an actor sort of special, so we thought it'd be brilliant to get an actor on who also loves games. And then we found out about you and your long history of gaming. Sensible soccer, I was told, is it, Matt? That's what got you into it.
I mean, you say an actor who loves games. I enjoy games and I grew up with games. I would not class myself as a modern day gamer, but my hands are sort of molded from Sega Mega Drive controllers. You know, that's my commitment to gaming. Modern gaming, not so much, although during the pandemic, obviously, it's been more a feature of my life, and I'm sure lots of people's lives. But yeah, going back to Sensible Soccer, that's the game that really, I think, most sticks out in my mind. There's a handful of games that really were a big feature of my upbringing, but Sensible Soccer absolutely is the one. And you know, when they started doing separate, like, battery powered consoles just for one game, that I think Sensible Soccer was one of the first ones that they did, so I have that packed away somewhere, although I do have the original Mega Drive and game itself. But
it's funny you talk about sort of the lockdown. A lot of people sort of rekindled or refound that magic of the games they played when they were younger, right, at the moment.
I mean, lockdown has allowed a lot of people to reflect on themselves and their lives, you know, not only in the future, but also in nostalgic terms, in looking back. And obviously, a lot of people grew up with gaming as a big part of their life, after school and late into the night. Before school.
Lunchtime before school.
Lunchtime as well, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So I suppose with something like Sensible Soccer, my long-term memory is not great. My memory of my childhood is not great. And, you know, without wanting this to turn into a therapy session, I don't recall any particular trauma. All I remember doing is playing football. But, of course, there are times when you can't play football. So Sensible Soccer was the way to play football without doing it physically.
Yeah. For me, when I was younger playing it, probably the first football game you could curl the ball. You could curl the ball nicely into the back of the nets, where before it was always just shoot straight in all the other kind of games.
It was absolutely about the gameplay. Because obviously the graphics at the time were... I mean,
super simple, top down, like
so simple. But actually, the actual gameplay, and you know, I was playing it with a joystick. I can remember the joystick vividly. It had two red buttons and a red stick, and the casing was transparent, so you could see the inner workings. I mean, this is just extraordinary. But I remember you could curl the ball, as you said, with the joystick. Which you can do on the controller, you know, the Mega Drive controller.
It's not the same.
But it's not the same as curling it. And that's the thing about Sensible Soccer. Compared to modern-day football games like Pro Evo or FIFA, you can actually score goals without spending 3 years training yourself how to do it. You know what I mean? It's like, who has that kind of time?
We who did back then.
Yes, I mean, fair play. This is all said with the utmost respect, but I don't have the time to learn how to score a goal on FIFA because... It's like you need a degree. It's like a vocation, you know. But with Sensible Soccer, you could very quickly pick up the techniques and score a lot of goals.
Yeah, it was very simple to kind of play.
It was a very, very simple, but...
I think there was only like one button, wasn't it? It was literally one button did everything. It was like, if you're defending, you tackle. If you're if you got the ball, you're passing. Or if you're in front of goal, you're shooting.
Yeah, but the coding was inherently intuitive.
Yeah,
and the simplicity of it was to its benefit, really, because it was so enjoyable. But I do think the reason it was so enjoyable is because you could really easily score goals.
What's it been like in lockdown when you've been playing a bit, like you talked about, to sort of, you know, to spend some time, like we've all been trying to find things to do and spend time. What's it been like getting back into it?
I enjoy games that I can sort of do in real life. So, you know, like with Sensible Soccer, I play and played football and I drive, but I like driving games. It's interesting because you'd imagine that gaming would be a way to explore things that you can't do. But for me, it's things that I can do, but just from the comfort of my own home.
And are we going to hear?
And A, drive quicker, and B, score more goals. But going back to your question, yeah, refinding gaming has been really interesting because the one thing which is actually completely contrary to what I just said is I don't play golf and I can't play golf and I have no interest in playing golf. But I love playing golf games. Absolutely love playing golf games.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't mind watching golf. I mean, I don't choose to watch golf. I don't mind if it's on.
Yeah.
I see the appeal of watching golf. I also see the appeal of playing golf. But it's not something I particularly want to do. But love playing golf games.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer, I don't know why that is. So that's something that I've started doing more of in the last year, is playing golf games.
Yeah.
And I think it's something to do with the how relaxing it is. There's one particular game I don't know. It's got a really very broad name. I don't know.
Is it what PGA the... Tour?
No.
Is it
the PGA Tour? No. It's another one.
Everybody's Golf?
Yes. Everybody's Golf. The graphics are very realistic in terms of the landscape. Like the commentator has a very gentle voice. You know, he's got his game down very low, like I have here on this podcast. And I've turned on original sound as I was as requested by your esteemed engineer, Ian Dealey. You know, and he's got a very soporific voice. And in the long grass where inevitably my balls end up, so to speak, you know, you can hear it and see it. And it's all very relaxing. It's kind of like going for a walk, but with a goal of getting a tiny little ball into a hole.
I hear what you mean.
It's quite meditative.
Exactly, yeah. And there's something very calming about playing games like that, like a golf game. So I've sort of taken more to that. In terms of my love of driving games, I've been less interested in refinding that. I was playing one which was like a sort of Sonic versus Mario Kart or something. And it's just like being in a nightmare, a really fast nightmare. And that's exactly what I don't want during a lockdown.
Too hectic for you, is it, Matt? Is too much going on?
A little bit too much going on. It's like those games you see at futuristic Japanese expos, you know, that it's like being visually murdered. I don't want that. I want to be wandering through a meadow and hitting a ball. Or
there's a game called Golf with Friends where you can play golf with your friends and you're all kind of putting at the same time. It's almost like a...
Oh, right. So there's a possibility for collision.
Yes. And so you can hit each other's balls out of the way.
Again.
Too chaotic.
Like with this horrible nightmare game with Sonic in a car, I don't want any conflict.
Just me and open field, yeah.
Like if me and open field. If I'm playing golf, I just want it to be me.
So when you're, not getting into your Zen palace of in a golf game, Matt, have you ever thought about performing in a game? Has that ever been something that's come up in conversations? Would you ever think about doing that, lending your voice or your performance in a performance capture or something?
No, I have friends who are actors who have voiced games, but I've never done it personally, and I understand that it's incredibly lucrative, so I would like to take this opportunity to say that I am available.
There we are. So everybody, get on the blower right now. Get Matt. He's available. He's up for it. Especially games that take you into a sort of a meditative state. You could, voice it, you know, like a meditation game or something. That could work. Like ASMR, right. But gaming.
Yeah, I was just about to go ASMR route, yeah. Well, Matthew, what if you had the opportunity, as we're still on this, what sort of character would you like to play, or what sort of game franchise would you like to kind of be transported into as a character?
Well, I to be quite honest with you, I mean, I don't particularly have, although I am available, have much interest in playing a gangster in Grand Theft Auto or anything like that. That's not really what a...
As the Danny Dyer route, he used to do that, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah. But my dream would be to sort of commentate a snooker game or a golf game and just be really encouraging, but without any expertise whatsoever. Literally just like, now just hit it into the hole. You know, things
Matthew
like
Horn
that.
Does darts.
That would be a dream job. Yeah. Just throw that stick into that red bit. You know, just stuff
I
like
think
that.
It's a treble.
That would be a dream job for me. Yeah. That could be a treble. Yeah. Now just imagine you're having a pint. There we go. I've actually found a niche for myself.
Can we take 12% though? Because me and Einel were in on this idea as well. So we'll take 12%. What have you got coming up? What people who are listening, who are big fans of yours, what can they look forward to seeing you in something soon?
I'm voicing a kid's animation based on Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I joke, of course. I'm 2 weeks away from filming a show I do for Sky and Acorn TV in America called Agatha Raisin.
Oh, Matt, it's been lovely to have you on the podcast. Keep getting in those Zen places and good luck with your filming when you get back to it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I've got loads to say about games. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, didn't even scratch
no, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. No, thank you so much. Time, man.
That was Matt Horn there, getting very zen in lockdown, using games, I know, to be fair.
Loving his golf.
I might just start playing some more golf games now off the back of that conversation.
I'm telling you, we need to get some with Golf with Friends on.
Yeah. But now, it's the time that, frankly, I've been looking forward to this for some
Have
time.
You?
You know, we've been adding spice into the podcast in Series 2. I'm trying to find out which one of us, and you listening actually, is the best at games. And to do that, we're using a free silly to play game about pancakes that you can get on your phone. Now, the current...
How is this free? How is this free?
How is this free? I don't know. Anyway, the current leaderboard, you know, not to, you know, not to pump my own tyres up here, but I'm currently leading on 15. Glenn is in second place on 9. Einel, you've got 8. We had Jayan on with us. Last week, she had 5. Shay and Rage have got 2. However,
yeah.
I would like to say that some of our listeners, I mean, unbelievable. Ethan.
It's something else, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I'm going to start from the bottom up, right? Jordan got in touch with us, said his first time he tried, he got 6. He's now up to 32. That is a big improvement, Jordan. Nice one. We've got Thomas on 36.
Huge.
Big scores here. Mm-hmm. Samuel Hines, 45. 45.
Oh. I can only dream,
right?
I can only dream of 40.
Only dream, I, you know, like, then you've got Adam Jack, 46.
46.
46, but I had this DM yesterday, right?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Ethan, 124.
Shut up.
I'm going to have to see some video footage on that one.
100.
I'm going to have to see video footage on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, some King of Kong style.
Yeah, come on. Record the runs, guys. Record the runs. These screenshots are... Oh, no.
So, Ethan, you are winning the overall Press X to Continue Pancake Challenge by some distance, but in test conditions, Gav, who's been gassing himself up, giving it all the big un on the WhatsApp group, this is his chance to see if he can get top of the leaderboard. Let's see how you get on. Ali, let's have a go as well. I know you're more of a finesse player, but that wonderful picture of the pancake standing up straight. So in test conditions, basically means you've got 3 attempts starting from now. Oh, Gav, look at his head's in his hands. It's not looking good.
Fun fact, pancake mix is not made by cracking an egg in the middle of the air.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Where's these blueberries coming from?
I love watching people play this game.
It's a good one.
Oh, he's getting excited. He looks excited. Everybody's so furious.
Ah! 31.
31?
31.
31.
He didn't. I mean, play it back. You can hear it. It was out loud.
I did not hear no 31.
Can I hear some tactics? Like, what are you doing?
I'm on 12 at a minute. You guys can see. Hold on.
Can
see
we get our producer to
see
play back
I'm holding
the
pancake.
Audio.
We on 12.
You got to flip it.
18.
Mate.
18 for mine. 18. That's a strong improvement. That's knocked me off second place. I'm annoyed about that. Gav with 31.
On, Gav.
And how
I'm
you looking
Gav.
There, Ali?
Show the screen, Gav. Let's see the workings, Gav.
Not
Come
even
on.
Worth mentioning. 6.
You can see the workings. You can see
six.
The workings.
Let's
six.
See the workings.
To be fair, 6 is more than Einel had first week, so that's pretty good.
It was, yeah. I was like 5 on the first week.
Well, Gav's got 31. So to be
18.
Fair to him, he said, we said it couldn't be done. He said it could be done, and he's done it in test conditions. He scored 31. Congratulations, Gav. That's good going.
Thank you very much, lads. You know, I just want to thank my team. You know, we dug deep. Said I was going to come on. I said, stick the lights on me. You know, apparently there's some scouts in the audience.
It's the beginning of an esports journey, Gav, this, isn't it? You know, that's what I was saying the other week.
Oh, thank you.
To be fair, Steph, he's way more of a graceful winner than you are. He's like, he's thanking the team and everything.
What?
I mean,
imaginary friend.
Why, what was Steph
you
doing?
Were bragging before last week. He's like,
bragging,
hey, I'm the best.
I've been best.
No,
I've been,
you know.
I've been
esports career is over, bruv. Come on.
Some of us wear glory well. Some of us wear it.
Come off it.
Wear it less well. You know, the people's champ. That's what I've just been hearing anyway. So
anyway, well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a big day for me and my team.
You look distraught.
Well, look, I don't think anybody... I've just been knocked off my perch. I don't think anybody's getting anywhere near Ethan's 124 anyway, so it doesn't matter. We're all losers. Ethan's the winner, so that's fine. Okay, then.
Well done, Ethan.
Well done, Ethan. Now it's time to finish off the podcast with our Hall of Game, where we put all of the best games in one place. It's a prestigious award to get into our Hall of Game. And this week, that power, I am taking it in my hands and I'm giving it to you, Alistair Plum. What is going in to the Press X to Continue Hall of Game?
Before I say the title of the game that's going in, and you're all going to agree with me and pat me on the back and say, good call, deserves to be in there, I want to let you know that I grew up in a non-console household. I was in a household where it was just a PC, and what we can get away with, like playing, was stuff that could conceivably be, oh yeah, no, educational. So kind of household where my brother, who is a bit older than me, would be playing Age of Empires and going, look, I'm learning, elephants. Yeah, great. So it's that sort of house. We played tons of point-and-click adventure games. We played the Discworlds. We played, obviously, Fate of Atlantis. We played Day of the Tentacle. Grim Fandango is a humongous deal in our house, as well as the likes of classic BioWare-style RPGs like Planescape Torment and Baldur's Gate. That sort of caper. That's what we loved. But the one I'm putting in the Hall of Game is The Curse of Monkey Island. The perfect combination of puzzling, picking up random stuff and remembering it was in your back pocket, rubbing the banana on the tree so something random happens, humour, so many jokes, so much wit. I loved The Curse of Monkey Island. I still do. There are remastered versions and I would play it again at the drop of a pirate hat. I love it. The Curse of Monkey Island is my pick because I don't think you guys would ever have otherwise put in a point-and-click adventure or anything this despicably 90s. So there you have it.
Yeah, I think it's a great show. We haven't had a We haven't had a game like it, and it made such a lasting impression. I tell you what, you don't get comedy like that in maybe Borderlands, but you don't get gags like that in games much these days, do you?
No, when you've got the insult fencing and all of that. Like, other games around this area were Broken Sword, that sort of thing, which had a bit of humour, but it was much more kind of grown up. Curse of Monkey Island just had this wacky, pun-based, like, what on earth am I watching, playing, doing vibe that I'll never really get over. I think it's probably made me the man, if you can call me a man, I am today.
I'd agree with Ali, especially in terms of when you're pointing and clicking and you're picking up different objects, how you utilize those objects are completely you'd never think, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do with this. It's like in terms of the humor and the art style as well. I will say point and click adventures are coming back, including one that you might find me in, currently out on Steam right now, Metropolis. Check it out. It's comedy related as well. Thank you.
Never good.
But yeah, it's so that style of gaming is coming back real soon, though.
Well, it is being recognised because it is in the Press X to Continue Hall of Game, the most prestigious Hall of Games out there. Possibly the only one, but whatever. It's in there now. Producer Ian says to you, yes to LucasArts, Sam and Max, Ali.
Absolutely.
Well done for mentioning that. Well, look, what do you think of Ali's choice then? Curse of Monkey Island. You know what to do. Hashtag Press X to Continue. So there we have it. Thank you very much for sticking with us. Thank you, team. We will see you Tuesday for the next episode of Press X. Bye-bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.